Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me today. It's a great day in the world, in the life of our small businesses, mine and yours. And I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Sam Norwood is here, too. Sam's an old friend of ours and longtime member of our Brain Trustees with Tatum Partners, LLC. And as you know, Sam joins us once a month to report on what his partners, he's got about 400 or 500 partners. These are CFOs, Chief Financial Officers, and CIOs, Chief Information Officers, all across the country who are out there running businesses like you and me. And he polls these partners once a month to find out how things are going. How are they for the last 30 days? How are things? And what do you think is going to be going on in the next 60 days? So we got about a 90-day window there that we're looking at. And Sam gives us that report every month. And he's a pretty cool guy. Sam Norwood, welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. And especially, you know, Sam, you're always welcome. I'm always glad to have you back. Well, but I really like you just a little bit more when you bring good news with you.
It's more fun that way, isn't it?
It is. It's a lot more fun.
We try to always be objective about it, and we tell it like it is.
One of my mentors,
your financial guys, right?
That's right. That's right. One of my mentors told me a long time ago, Sam. He said, "Sales cures all ills."
If you don't have a sale, you can't have a bottom line.
Nothing happens till somebody makes a sale. That's right. So, how are sales out there in according to your partners?
Our partners are reporting that sales are strong and that the conditions are favorable and more favorable right now than they were a month ago. And we reported a month ago that we were concerned that maybe the economy was going to take a breather because we were concerned about the effects of the energy spike that had gone on in the fall. That would trickle through, and how people would allocate their resources, and would they spend less, and what you know. And now it appears as though the major effects of the rising price in energy has not had a significant effect as we had thought, and so the news is good.
Well, I wonder. I have in my mind a little diagram, Sam, and it's kind of a line that's kind of high on the graph, and then it kind of dips down a little bit, and then it comes back up. And what I mean by that is early in the fall, when we were talking about anticipating the holiday spending, the holiday season, we had high gasoline prices,
mm-hmm.
and a forecast of high fuel prices for heating oil and that sort of thing, higher natural gas,
mm-hmm.
and so both those two things kind of put a damper on projections for the winter.
Yes.
And then gasoline prices came down significantly from over $3 to close to $2 a gallon.
Exactly.
But yet we're having a kind of a mild fall. It wasn't a lot of cold weather in October and most of November. And so with those two things coming together made people get sort of excited again about spending. That's the dip that I was talking about. But now as we're getting closer to Christmas and the holiday spending season, that's when the cold weather's back. It's here, and people are having to spend money on that heating. And I wonder if that's going to have an impact. This cold blast that we've got across the country right now, I wonder if that's going to have an impact in the run-up to Christmas. What do you think?
We think that it, on the one hand, there's another factor that is at work here, and that is that people do respond to price. Just like they respond to sales prices going on in the retail stores, they respond to high prices for fuel and reduce to some degree their driving and their consumption of energy.
Yeah.
So that's another factor that helped bring down the prices. Now we're in a cold spell. Two things happen with that. One is that we see a little going back up on the price of fuel and energy, but at the same time, it makes people go out and buy coats, winter clothes, and that sort of thing. So it's really helping the apparel sector right now. That's really cold weather gets folks out and interested in the seasonal shopping that simply would not have happened had we continued with the mild weather.
Well, yeah, and it certainly helped the people who sell sweaters and coats, didn't it?
Well, that's for sure.
And snow tires.
Well, exactly. And that's a two-edged sword. In part, what's going on, too, is and this part does not come from our survey exactly, but by reading and seeing the predictions a little bit, it looks like the high-end stores and the jewelry are going to be a little bit soft, but the electronics are going crazy, so you have to weigh one thing against the other when you think about the overall holiday season.
Hold on to that thought, Sam. When we come back, I'm going to ask Sam if there could be a bigger slump after the first of the year, and I'll tell you why. And we're going to get into the numbers of Sam's survey right after these messages. It's 22.
Then she stood in the street.
We're back. It's 17:10. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend Sam Norwood. He's with Tatum Partners, LLC, and we're talking about the most recent survey that Sam and his organization have put together to poll his partners all over the country to see what they have to say about the economy. Sam, I want to touch on one quick thing that I said before we went to the break. My thoughts on the economy, and then I want to get into your survey. Another thing that I'm seeing in this, you know, this little weird little graph that I'm painting in my head, Sam, that I described earlier, I'm seeing the fact that Americans are not having to pay for the heating oil maybe right now that they're using. The bill for that's not going to come until after the first of the year.
Exactly. That'll be here in January.
And so gas is down. The economy's looking pretty good. And they haven't had the big hit yet, the big utility bill yet. So is it possible that we could have, because of that almost, especially if we continue to have a pretty cold winter, is it possible that first quarter could take a hit next year?
It could, but we've got such momentum that it's it may cause a slowing of the overall growth to some degree, but we don't think that right now that it will cause a dip as much as a possible slowing in the overall growth rate. Mm-hmm. I know that the Fed is looking very closely at whether or not to continue raising interest rates. That will be a signal to some degree. It's possible if, in fact, oil has gone back up over $60 a barrel.
Right.
We'll watch that pretty carefully. But you're right. The big bills for the heating this winter are going to come through in January, February, and March. If it stays really cold like it is right now, and there are predictions that the winter is going to be a cold one, then that will put a damper on spending because a larger proportion of one's income is going to be going for energy.
Now,
and it trickles through in everything else that we buy because that energy's got to be used in getting everything that we receive to our particular location. And so there's going to be a push. There's got to be a trickle through push on inflation.
Well, let me give you an example. Mm-hmm. One small example. I was talking. We're buying some new carpet for our house, mm-hmm. and I was talking to my carpet guy yesterday, small business owner, who sold me the carpet, and he said that the pad that goes under the carpet, which, as you probably know, is a petroleum-based. It's a foam pad. It's mm-hmm. it's the padding. It's a petroleum-based. He said that had just gone up 50 cents.
Mm.
Which is a pretty good spike in that product.
Yeah, because that's a $3 or $3.50 a yard product, isn't it?
Well, probably a little less than that, but percentage wise, that was a pretty
that's
high
a big
percentage.
Percent.
Yeah, pretty high percentage. But let's try not to get. I don't want to get us too negative, and I'd let us into that. I know. I want to get back to the current month over the month before was a nice little increase, wasn't it?
It was. And in almost all of our measures, when we are conducting our survey with our partners across the country, there we have now over 500 partners, and they're in 30 markets around the country, and we serve in virtually every industry, every major category. So we feel like we get a broad feel for what's going on right now. And after a dip in the what we perceive to be the growth rate in conditions, which is equivalent to the economy, in the prior month, this month we saw a nice increase. 42% of our respondents indicated that they had improved business conditions last month as opposed to 35% the month before. That's a nice increase for us.
We like and, we like those we like those trends, don't we?
Yes, sir, and that's just the way it is, and so in the
now how many Sam? Let me stop for a second. How many of your folks are retail or directly, pretty directly, one off from retail?
In our retail sector, we have about and I'm about 10% of our respondents are in the retail sector.
How many are one-off, like you know, like vendors or wholesalers?
And wholesalers are a little smaller percentage than that. Seven are they're in that range.
Right.
And so, I mean, our biggest our biggest participants are in manufacturing and service and technology, which can be manufacturing and service. And in fact, there's a blurring these days. Let me just take a second. There's a very much higher content, service content for manufacturers these days than used to be. It used to be a pure manufacturer. Now service is a part of that. And
because vendors, because companies are learning how to integrate with their customers rather than just deliver things and drop them off at the dock.
Exactly. And customers expect a higher content of service.
That's right.
And so it's very interesting, this blurring of the lines. But at retail, it's we're not as big in retail as we are in service.
Right.
And service, some of our service is retail itself, and in manufacturing and technology business.
So we had a we've had a good report, folks. It went from the index went from 4.2 last time Sam was here to 5.0 this time, and when we come back, we're going to take a look at the next 60 days. What are they thinking? What do Sam's partners think is going to be going on in the next 60 days? And I give you a little hint, you're going to like it. Tintail, stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Sam Norwood. Sam is a senior partner with Tatum Partners. Sam, tell us what Tatum Partners is all about.
Tatum Partners started about 10 years ago and has grown by providing what we now refer to as strategic, financial, and technology leadership to companies, large and small and medium-sized. And by that, we mean we fulfill the chief financial officer spot. We do projects of a financial nature, the same with information and technology. And we also provide strategic leadership when it's needed, reporting to the board or the CEO, because our partners are senior, experienced kind of folks, so it's we're executives for rent.
Exactly, it's a great model, folks, and I encourage you to check it out. Give us the website, Sam.
Website is TatumPartners.com. TatumPartners.com.
If you're growing to a point where you think you could use some help, some professional help by a CFO or CIO, but you can't quite justify the full ticket for one, you need to check out the Tatum Partners, folks. They can help you accomplish your goals and grow into that kind of that level of capability.
Yeah, we can do it on a part-time basis, a temporary basis, a full-time basis, depending on the need, and take it as a project or a actual seat with your other managers.
And you can also find their report on their website that Sam gave you, and you can find it on my website. We post it every month. Sam, let's get into what your partner said they think is going to happen in the next 60 days. That's good news, too, isn't it?
It's good news. 55% of our respondents said that the next 60 days look better, that they expect conditions in their business to improve compared to only 42% in the prior month. So that is a great increase in the outlook. And we also compare, we do a ratio of those who think things will improve over those who think things will worsen. And the number that believe things will improve was more than six times the number that thought things will worsen in the next 60 days.
So that's good.
Our outlook is very positive.
What do you think is the basis for that outlook?
There are several things. One is a recognition that the momentum is quite good. Second, we have our individual clients, to the extent that they have backlogs. We look at the backlogs and see if the backlogs are up or down, many more are up. We check and see if they're making more or fewer commitments to capital expenditures.
Mm-hmm.
That is very positive.
So they're optimistic about where they're going. Now, Sam, the economy for 2005 is going to come in on just a little above 3.5, it looks like, on average.
Yeah, look, you know, it's mighty fine.
Kiplinger says that 2006 is going to be off of that a little bit, maybe closer to 3%.
We believe that.
Okay, you think that's about right?
So
my point there is, even though the trend is going to be down a little bit in 2006, 3% is robust enough to still make us feel positive.
Exactly. In fact, we're not sure that 3.5 would be sustainable for the long term. It probably will be, particularly with the improvements in productivity that continue to go on.
Yeah.
I mean, we look at employment right now, and you would think at this stage, we're 4 years into the expansion, the recovery and the expansion.
Uh-huh.
By this stage, you normally find that employment is so tight, you know, that would be pushing up prices and the costs of doing business. But it's not as much right now because of the huge improvements that keep going on in productivity.
Well, I'll tell you something else is happening. I think we're starting to see what I was talking about a few years ago. We're getting more and more of America's workers are getting trained and getting experience in 21st century jobs.
Yes.
Because, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, Sam, we still had a lot of Americans who weren't ready for prime-time 21st century jobs.
Well, you know, the big changes started in the 1990s, and at first, a lot of workers were reluctant to get retrained, but
right.
We're learning that it's time we have to sometimes reinvent ourselves.
That's exactly right. Hey, Sam, give us your website again, please.
It's www.tatumpartners.com.
Sam, thanks a lot for being here. I'm looking forward to next month already.
Great pleasure to be with you, Jim. And
we'll see you next time.
Best wishes for the holiday season.
Merry Christmas to you, Sam. Sam Norwood, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be too, but it'll be on the other side of the news. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.